Let us continue in prayer. Lord God, as we turn to your word to us now in scripture, we ask for your blessing. We thank you that you are a God of love and that you have given us your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to be our guide, to be our music for the dance of our lives. We pray now that as we read your word to us in scripture, the words of this page, the words of my mouth, and the meditations of all of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight, and that through them and by them we might better understand you and the calling that you have placed on our lives. So all these things we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture lesson for this morning comes from the book of Colossians. Listen for God's holy word. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above with Christ,
seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you will also be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourselves with the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge according to the image of its creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, and slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another, and if any has a complaint against another, forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also must you forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. People of God, the grass withers and the flowers fade, but God's word remains and abides. Thanks be to God, and let all God's people say. All right, I have a confession to make. When I was a young child, I had a bad habit. Like all bad habits, it was hard to put away. When I was preschool-aged, when I was on the verge of entering preschool, my parents and I had to deal with the fact that I had the bad habit of sucking my thumb. Okay? That was my bad habit. Some of my earliest memories are of my parents trying to coax me away from this bad habit. I can remember the negotiations that we had. I can remember my mom carefully reasoning with me and sort of pleading with me to put away this bad habit. She wanted me to stop. She wanted me to grow out of my bad habit, but she also didn't want me to think that she was mad at me. She wanted me to stop, but she also didn't want to make me feel ashamed because of my bad habit. It was a narrow road to walk. Looking back, I remember that the reality that I was a kid who sucked my thumb, it was part of my identity. It was part of how I thought about myself. It was part of who I thought I was. And of all the kids in the world, I was the kind of kid who sucked his thumb. And I was old enough at that point to know that I shouldn't do it. I was old enough to understand my parents' arguments that the dentist had said that sucking my thumb would make my teeth crooked. I understood my parents' point that I didn't want to be in school, hanging out with my friends, and sucking my thumb. I understood all of the arguments, but I still sucked my thumb all the same. I knew better, but time and time again, I found myself unable to avoid this persistent bad habit. It was as if during the day I would awake from a sleepless waking. I would wake from a sleepless sleep, and I would find my thumb in my mouth, despite my best intentions. Bad habits are hard to shake. The Colossian Christians, to whom Paul wrote our passage, they were dealing with persistent and bad habits. And it is important for us to remember that before Paul sat down to write his letter to the Colossian churches, they already knew and agreed with him about all that God had done for them. Through the preaching of another missionary, whom Paul names for us Epaphras, the Colossian Christians had already come to believe that Christ had accomplished for them. They had already come to believe what they had heard about what Christ had accomplished for them by dying on the cross, rising from the grave, and ascending to the right hand of God the Father. They knew that Christ, because of Christ, they had entered into a new and God-given chapter of their lives. They knew that Christ had won them their salvation. They knew that God had joined their lives together with Christ. And in this, they knew that their sins had been stripped away from them, nailed to the cross. They knew that their old selves, their old lives, their old ways had been put to death in Christ dying and rising to new life. They understood that God had given them new lives that were supposed to be free of sin and death. They knew and believed that in Christ's ascension, he had become enthroned as the true ruler over all powers, all authorities, everything in this world and in the world to come. He was the Lord of lords, the King of kings, and in his name, all things held together. Even before Paul sat down to write his letter, the Colossian Christians knew, they knew that God had given them and assured them of their salvation. The Colossian Christians were finding that despite what they knew and believed about Christ, despite the new lives that they had received as gracious gifts from God, they were finding that they were still struggling to put an end to their old ways and their troubling habits. Everyone in their community agreed and knew that they should be living in love, being patient with one another, bearing with one another, living in peace, doing that which was for mutual encouragement and to build up their community. But they still found that their church life, their family life, life within their society was plagued by gossip and slander, abuse, sexual sins, anger, hatred, jealousy. People knew that these things were part of the old ways, part of their old lives that had passed away with Christ on the cross. They knew the gospel. They knew what it said, that these old practices had been judged and conquered by Christ. And yet, the Colossian Christians found that these bad habits continued to persist. And so the Colossian Christians were left wondering if perhaps they were doomed to always be stuck with these bad habits and sinful ways, trapped hopelessly with these habits that were causing so much trouble within their communities of faith. Paul's letter speaks a word of encouragement to the Colossians during this time of crisis. Our passage for this morning communicates that what the Colossians were experiencing was not a sign that they were lost or permanently trapped in their old ways. Instead, Paul's words instruct the Colossians that their struggle is something that is typical of the Christian experience. Paul's words affirm the reality that sin, while it has been judged and defeated by Christ, it still, for Christian people, remains a persistent problem and a source of troubling bad habits. Paul's words affirm the reality that despite all that God has accomplished for Christians through Christ Jesus, Christians have their own work to do in the process of embracing and living out the gift of our wonderful salvation life. In our passage, Paul explains, saying, "You have stripped off the old self with its practices, and you have clothed yourself with a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge, according to the image of its creator. With these words, we see several things are true and important to remember regarding the Christian experience. The old self, our old way of life, our old way of sin, it needs to be stripped off. Next, the new self, created in and through the death, resurrection, and ascension of Jesus Christ, it must be put on. And finally, and most importantly for us today, we see that the new self, while it is a good gift given to us by God, it is not an immediate nor a perfect solution to the problem of sin. According to Paul, the new self allows the Christian to experience a process of renewal. With this, Paul is acknowledging that receiving salvation and seeing its effects in our lives is not a one-time deal, but a process to be engaged and worked at. Paul writes to encourage his friends in the Colossian churches not to give up in the face of the frustrations that come along with the bad habits of sin, but to continue in the process, continue in the work of claiming and cultivating and embracing the new lives of faith for their own benefit and for the benefit of their entire community. Within this passage, Paul gives some practical guidance for this process of renewal. Paul says, if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Here in this section of our passage, Paul uses two verbs to describe the Christian process of renewal: seek and set. Paul reminds his listeners and us today that in the midst of life, in the hustle and bustle, through the highs and the lows, in the face of frustrations and troubles, our work is to seek Christ. To seek Christ. Our work is to seek and to strive after Christ. It is to look to Him as our guide and our source for direction and life-giving power. Rather than being focused on our failures, rather than looking for solutions in earthly things, Paul instructs his friends in Colossae and us as well to seek the things that are above where Christ is, and then set our minds on these things. Through these words of Paul, God is good to remind us that we have work to do as people of faith. Paul's words remind us that part of our mission as Christians is to play an active part in our own transformation. Paul's words remind us that our true life is not found in our troubles or in our failures. Our true life is hidden with God in Christ. As such, it is right and fitting, it is necessary, that we would endeavor in this life to seek out Christ in all things, and then, once we have sought Him out, to set our minds upon Him. In the midst of our frustrations, this message gives us hope. For it tells us that we are not doomed or trapped in our bad habits. God's message through Paul's words reminds us that salvation is a process, and that renewal is something that we can work at in our lives. In case you were wondering, I did eventually stop sucking my thumb. The notion that I was a kid who sucked his thumb, it had become part of my little kid identity. It was part of how I viewed myself and part of how my parents viewed me as well. It was a bad habit and a hard identity to shed. But eventually, with work and persistence, I was able to put that aspect of my identity behind me. Eventually, I was able to take it off, to shed that identity. Eventually, with the support, encouragement, and help of my parents, I was able to put on a new identity, to claim a new reality for myself. I was able to live into a new life which did no longer include that bad and persistent habit. So too it is with our lives of faith. We are not locked into our bad habits. Sin is a persistent problem. But through Paul's words, God encourages us not to give up on the work of doing away with those things in our lives which we know are outside of the new identity that God has given to us in Jesus Christ. Sin is a persistent problem, but we do not have to give up on trying to rid ourselves of these troubling ways. Instead, God encourages us to continue in the process of renewal. God encourages us to continue the work of embracing and living more and more into our salvation life. God encourages us to more and more, through the process of renewal, own and experience the life of Christ which God has given us. In service of this effort, God reminds us to seek out and to set our minds on Christ. God reminds us not to look for our solutions in earthly things, but instead to keep our focus above where Christ is, at the right hand of God. Hear again Paul's words to his siblings in faith. He says, "As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion and kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bear with one another. And if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God our Father through him." Amen.